Welcome to Couve.com. I'm David Medore. We have Tiffany Couch with us today. Tiffany, you've released a third report, three of four, regarding the CRC light rail tolling project. In today's video interview, we're going to be playing some video clips that have to do with what appears to be false testimony and misrepresentation by the CRC officials. I say appears to be because I'm not concluding that. So we're going to play these clips for the viewers to let them determine whether or not this is truthful, accountable, trustworthy, transparent government in action or not.
Okay.
So what brought you to this point?
Well, thank you for having me, David. I'm here today. My third report is based on what appear to be significant costs of the CRC, Columbia River Crossing Project, that appear to be outside of the 5-mile bridge area. And excuse me. What we all know is that this project's going to be from North Portland into South Vancouver, about a 5-mile stretch of Interstate 5. It's going to be a bridge across the river and light rail.
Mm-hmm. And can you show that?
Yeah, I can. We've got a map here that the CRC, Columbia River Crossing mm-hmm. Project Office, has published. Mm-hmm. And it's a nice map. It shows the project area. This is down by Columbia Boulevard in North Portland, over here on the right in the red. Mm-hmm. The blue comes up to about SR 500 in Vancouver. The purple is the bridge, mm-hmm. and the green is the light rail.
And so the reason that we're showing this here is because the oversight panel mm-hmm. is trying to get the truth and understand where the money is going.
That's
and
great.
This is to what was represented to them to be where all of the money is going. This
That's
is
correct.
To be the inclusive. There's nothing outside of this representation here where that money is going. We find out a little different story as they continue to probe.
I have. So what this shows is not only what the project area is going to be, but it shows the cost of each of those areas by color. Okay? So I was doing research in August, and I came across some documents on the Federal Transit Administration's website, FTA.
Okay.
And these documents were related to the Columbia River crossing, and I'd like to show the first one.
Okay.
And what I found out are project summary reports that every project in the United States is required to give to the FTA so that they can be considered for like New Starts funding or other funding from the FTA.
So this is from the CRC officials to apply for the $850 million
exactly.
of federal transit funds.
I'm sorry,
for
that's
light
exactly
rail.
Correct.
Okay.
So what I discovered was a November 2009 document, or dated November 2009. Mm-hmm. It describes the project. And it says, in addition to the light rail and the bridge, et cetera, in addition, TriMet's current maintenance facility at Ruby Junction in the city of Gresham would be expanded. Mm-hmm. So that was news to me at that time. I had not realized that there was going to be a project outside of this bridge.
Okay, you just
area.
Said something. Can you repeat what you just said?
It says, and this is the wording on the FTA website from the CRC project office. In addition, TriMet's current maintenance facility mm-hmm. at Ruby Junction in the city of Gresham would be expanded.
So this was in the application, 2009 November, which is conflicting with what this said, because Ruby Junction is anywhere near this.
No,
right?
Gresham is about 10 to 15 miles east of Portland, Vancouver area.
Okay.
And I think it's important. So I thought that was interesting. So I was told that these reports are issued every year to the FTA as a project is going through its process. And so I found
an update,
the 2010 update.
Mm-hmm. And just show the
yes,
header here.
Absolutely.
So it says the same project 1 year later.
Right.
Okay.
It's going to be 2.9 miles, you know, however many light rail cars, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So what's interesting was in 2010, the project description included new wording. So it included the TriMet's current maintenance facility at Ruby Junction in the city of Gresham would be expanded. So that's the same wording as 2009. Mm-hmm. But then they added, and improvements to Portland Steel Bridge for the speed and reliability would occur.
So they actually expanded it.
So they expanded the scope of the project to include the steel bridge.
In other words, the funds that they asked for, which was originally to be used for the original map, that same amount of funds are now being applied, appropriated to new areas way outside this. And this doesn't, I mean, I read this, I look at it for the first time and I think, well, they're just saying that they're going to continue to develop light rail. They got the Milwaukee light rail and they got other projects. This doesn't, to me, necessarily say they're going to use that some of that $850 million for this. This is just, is that possible that they...
Well, to me, it meant that they were going to use the $850 million for the project because they're applying for the $850 million here. And they're saying that of this project, this $850 million
here,
this is what we're going to do.
Okay.
So I naturally said, okay, this I wasn't aware of this. I'm going to ask the CRC project office through a public records request to provide me with the costs of these projects so that we can understand of the $850 million, how much is going to go to the steel bridge and how much is going to go to Ruby Junction.
In other words, you want a breakdown. Show me the itemized list of what's going to be, what makes up that total.
I did. I specifically asked for the budgeted costs for the Ruby Junction upgrade and the steel bridge speed and reliability changes.
So by law, when you make a public information request like that, they are bound by law to, if those records are available, to provide them to you.
That's correct.
And so when did you ask for them?
I asked for those on August 7th, 2012.
Okay.
They had 5 business days to provide me with either an acknowledgement of my request, the actual documents, or a denial. And they ignored the request, meaning they did not send any sort of acknowledgement. They did not send me a denial letter, nor did they send me the documents
at all.
You
sure it got through? Did they?
I'm positive it got through. So I gave them about 7 to 10 days, and I apologize, I don't know the exact date, but it was an extended period of time beyond the 5
for
days.
Response.
And I said, you're out of compliance with this. And they said, well, you asked for information, you did not ask for a document, so we're not going to provide you the information. So I revised the wording on my report to ask for I had originally asked for a budget. So I said, well, can I get a budget document that shows the costs of the steel bridge and the Ruby Junction upgrade?
I don't want to split hairs, but I'm curious. If you sent them a request for information, it was information you asked for, and it was very specific. Shouldn't they have responded back to you to indicate, it's really not clear what you want. Please be more specific.
In the past, they have done that. I do not know what the reason was for them to not respond at all to
okay,
this.
Okay, so you resubmitted, you were more specific.
I was.
Okay.
So I resubmitted, and I'd like to show you this email. They responded several weeks later, which is okay, that's normal. And they gave me, I'm just going to highlight.
Okay.
You can just see that they attached several documents here. I don't want to get into the semantics, but they attached 3 documents.
Okay.
Okay. And they kind of go through the documents they provided. And they said, well, we gave you a cost projection. But you will not find specific costs for the Ruby Junction facility or the steel bridge in the cost estimate report. So they're telling me, we're giving you this report, but it's not going to tell you what the costs are. Okay? So my first thought was, why give that to me if it's not going to be responsive to my request?
Right. You asked for something, and they said, we're going to give you something that's not going to include really what you asked for.
That's correct. They also gave me a finance plan, which they don't acknowledge anywhere in this document, in this email, but I read all 40 pages of the finance plan. The finance plan does not give anybody the cost of the Ruby Junction upgrade or the steel bridge upgrade. So the last document they gave me was an Excel spreadsheet, which is a cost estimate reporting tool that the CRC office, gives to the Federal Transit Administration. And they say, code 30.02 is the Ruby Junction work, and thus you will find the cost for Ruby Junction there. However, the steel bridge expansion and improvement costs are grouped with other costs in this report and thus cannot be found in a specific code. So August 7th, I asked for the documents. September 6th, they provide me documents and they do give me the cost of the Ruby Junction upgrade. Today is October 24th. I still do not have the cost of the Steel Bridge upgrade.
So they buried it.
Thus far, I don't have it. Mm-hmm. So I opened up the Excel spreadsheet and I went...
In other words, let me rephrase that.
Sure.
They didn't necessarily bury it. Basically, they said it's buried in there somewhere.
They say it's buried in there somewhere.
But you couldn't break... It is not in a form that you could break it out and see the specifics of what you were looking for, what you originally asked for.
I want to be very clear about something here. In order for anybody to summarize data in a summarized format, like they're doing here, and I can mm-hmm. show you an example.
Okay.
They're saying that the guideway and track elements of this bridge are going to cost $1.3 billion. The stations and stops are $133 million. The Ruby Junction is $50 million. So you can see that they have summarized the cost of the project, $3.5 billion, basically into 10 line items. But in order for any accountant or anybody to summarize data, mm-hmm. you have to have all the detail to support
sure.
it.
Sure.
So all of the detailed cost of the steel bridge would be their own component and certainly are going to be parts of any of these costs here.
And I would think in order for them to create this summary, they have to have the detail.
They do. And in fact, they even have, there are documents that say we have 1,000 lines of data that make up our cost estimate. So I have now asked for the 1,000 lines of data to see if I can break out the steel bridge costs.
Okay.
But for them to say they didn't have it or to provide documents that weren't responsive, it just doesn't make sense because...
Okay.
I
can see two different responses to this. One would be, hey, Tiffany, you're an accountant. You look for detail. And it's just, welcome to the world of government. It's just messy and it just takes a while and get used to the frustration. That's one approach.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is, because you're also a fraud examiner,
mm-hmm.
because your area is forensics, it has to do with looking for red flags and try to dig out the specifics to indicate, does this add up? You need to be able to actually arrive at these basic numbers that we're not talking about tens of dollars or thousands of dollars. We're talking about millions and tens of millions of dollars.
That's correct.
So these are basic, fundamental. You've audited a number of government agencies. That's what you do.
That's right.
And you also teach fraud, how to identify it. There are red mm-hmm. flags.
There are.
What are you thinking in this whole process? Is this just messiness? Just bad bookkeeping? Or is there something that makes you feel like something's not right here?
This has gone beyond bad bookkeeping. I understand bad bookkeeping. I understand inefficiency. And again, I think it's important for the viewers to understand we're only talking about one issue here today. And, you know, we have report number one with open public meetings. We have report number two with contract issues and not looking at three vendors and $153 million with 67% to one vendor. We have a whole body of red flags. And that's why I continue to say in my reports, I can't tell you that anybody's perpetrating a fraud or that we have a contract issue. I can only say we have a contract issue or we have these red flags. And that's why an appropriate agency needs to investigate. I can't say mm-hmm. that something's bad or not. I can only say, in my professional opinion, there is a problem here, and here's why, and here are all the documents to explain why.
Okay.
So now we know that Ruby Junction's going to cost $50 million.
Where did you see that?
And that's right
here. In other words, this document here that is, when did you get this?
I received this in September of 2012.
Okay.
And this was a document that was actually given to the FTA to apply for the $850 million
okay, so,
fund.
So in here we see 50 million, that's a pretty significant amount.
So that was a significant
50 million amount. Out of 850.
That's correct. And
okay.
I think that's about 6%, but don't quote me on that because I don't have my calculator in front of me.
Mm-hmm. It makes me wonder about these other areas here, systems. That's a pretty broad category there.
Mm-hmm.
What are they, when you don't have the line items that make these up.
We don't.
You really can't really identify what does that include.
That's correct. So we've done some additional work on Ruby Junction. The steel bridge remains at a big question mark. But we did research on the Ruby Junction facility, which again is in Gresham, which is again about 10 to 15 miles east of the Portland-Vancouver area. And a couple of interesting facts have come to light. The first is this facility's been around since the early 1980s. It's a TriMet facility. It's where the light rail, they take the light rail in and to do the maintenance, okay? The cars. Mm-hmm. It was upgraded when the Yellow Line went from downtown Portland to the Expo Center.
Okay, that's the westerly, northwesternmost section.
That's right. When they upgraded that facility, and I'm going to get my report out so that I don't misspeak. They upgraded that facility. That was a 17-car project.
Can you show us?
Sure. So that project happened in the year 2002. The Yellow Line went from downtown Portland to the Expo Center, and in 2002, they upgraded the Ruby Junction for $9 million. And that was they were adding 17 cars to that light rail system. Okay.
What do you know about what it cost to actually originally build that?
I don't, not okay. off the top of my head. Okay?
Okay, so basically 10 years ago.
10 years ago. Currently, this year, 2012, we have a Milwaukee to Portland light rail project going in as we speak. Mm-hmm. There is an $8 million contract out to upgrade the Ruby Junction facility in Gresham for a 20-car addition. Okay?
Okay. What I'm thinking is that they made application to the FTA for the Milwaukee line.
They did.
And they gave them the kinds of answers likely that we're receiving here. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if they were open, transparent, and revealing to them that, hey, guess what? Even though you're funding the Milwaukee line, we're going to go 20 or 30 miles away and take funds from that and put them into Gresham. I wonder.
I don't know. And so what's interesting is that the Columbia River Crossing project is adding a similar number of cars to the Ruby Junction facility, but yet our project is saying we're going to spend $50 million to upgrade the facility. And so my question in my report is, why is our project, the CRC project, 450% more to upgrade the Ruby Junction facility than the last two most recent projects?
Have you asked them that question?
I haven't asked that specifically, but it's
talking about specific asking.
it's a question.
We're not the first ones to ask these questions.
There
is an oversight panel made up of elected officials that are asking these kinds of questions to these officials, and they're getting answers. And that's why I'm anxious for us to be able to pull up those video clips.
Well, I think it's
important to see what answers they're getting.
I do think it's important. So I have all this background, and I waited until we had the Washington State Legislative Oversight Committee meeting, because I had given this information to the legislators so that they could ask the questions during the meeting. And one of the first, I know we're going to go to a clip where Nancy Boyd, who is the CRC project director, she's a Washington State Department of Transportation official, and she starts explaining the cost of the project. And I know we've got a clip here, so it'd be nice to kind of do a segue into that.
Okay.
So this slide here, the construction cost estimates and fund sources, I want to start by pointing out that there are actually two different types of numbers. The four boxes with the colored numbers show the cost estimates for each colored section of the project. So that, you remember, the corridor is about 5 miles long, and what you see in the graphic there is trying to depict different chunks of the project. In green, you'll see that the cost to replace the Columbia River Bridge is $1.2 billion. And that's intended to be paid for by tolls and any remainder by state or federal funds. Also in green is the light rail alignment. You can see it would cross the main Columbia River Bridge, and then you can see the couplet as it goes through downtown Vancouver and out to Clark College. The cost for the light rail is estimated to be $850 million, which would be paid for by the FTA New Starts Fund.
Okay. So,
Nancy, we have a question.
This is a transcript of the answer that Nancy Boyd just gave to the oversight panel.
That's correct. So just to give the viewers a little preface, because I know we're only able to do clips, she's explaining the map. She's explaining to the legislative committee what this map means. And she's explaining that the project is a five-mile bridge and highway project.
That's what they call the influence area?
The influence area. Mm-hmm. And she's explaining that each of the boxes on the map correspond to the cost of different parts of the project. So
pretty
that's
basic.
What she's doing there. And she's basically said, and we can go to the specific verbiage, she says, also in green is the light rail alignment. The cost for the light rail is estimated to be $850 million, which would be paid for by the FTA New Starts Fund. And let me back up. She explains that it's going to hook in at the Expo Center, come across the Columbia River, and go into
Clark College. In
other words,
referring to this bridge influence area. This is directing your attention to this geographic spot. This is where the money is going.
Exactly. So there's a little bit of additional testimony into the different areas of the project, but then Representative Armstrong and Senator King start asking more specific questions as to, and the first is whether or not any of this verbiage has changed, and you know, are there any other projects outside of the project area? So I know that we've got a second clip between a couple of the legislators and Nancy Boyd.
Okay, let's go ahead and run that clip.
$1 million.
Nancy, we have a question from Senator King.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So going back to the light rail for $850, do we have a breakdown of what's all included in that $850 somewhere?
Yes, I can provide that to you, but I can tell you that the $850 covers all the costs of constructing light rail, designing and constructing light rail. And, you know, I know you've had the question before about the match. Essentially, the Patty Murray language covers allows us to use the rest of the project as the match for the $850.
Well, I'm more concerned about where does all that money go? I mean, is it all just what we see here in the green, or are there other areas that, you know, we may be helping Oregon on some, you know, element of their light rail that's on their side of the bridge? And
the $850 would cover all the costs of building light rail from where it currently ends in Oregon, right there by the Expo Center.
Okay.
And then so for extending light rail across Hayden Island, station there at Hayden Island, across the Columbia River Bridge, and then through Vancouver, terminating at Clark College. And it also includes the three park and ride structures, the parking garages.
Okay. So what, I'm sorry.
Okay. So basically we have a progression here, zeroing in on where is this money going. And I wonder at this point, does Nancy Boyd and Paula Hammond know that the oversight panel has these documents that reveal where this money is going? Because the answers that they're giving aren't lining up with that.
That's correct. So I don't know what Nancy, Ms. Boyd, and Ms. Hammond knew about what the legislators were going to ask them. But it's very clear that Ms. Boyd is directing them back again to the fact that the $850 million is going to cover, and I quote, where it currently ends in Oregon, right there by the Expo Center. And so, and again, this is her wording, not mine. And so, for extending the light rail across Hayden Island Station, there at Hayden Island, across the Columbia River Bridge, and then through Vancouver, terminating at Clark College. So she reiterates the map.
Here's where it's going.
She reiterates that we're going to hook in here in North Portland, go across the river, and go through downtown and into Clark College. So when pointedly asked, that's the way she answers.
So they're becoming progressively more pointed in their questioning.
That's correct. And so then,
so far they don't have a clue from the answers that there's money going anywhere else besides into this bridge influence area.
That's correct.
Okay.
So next, I know we have a clip of Representative Armstrong, who's going to ask whether or not any of the projects have changed. Mm-hmm. Now remember, well, let's listen to that first, and then we can come back on the other side and talk about that.
Okay, let's roll that clip in.
One question I have on the funding, what's being funded by this money, Has that been at all a moving target? Have we added to or taken away from the list of funding options that this $850 million is actually going to?
The $850 million has always been intended to cover the costs of building light rail. So all the transit-related expenditures to build the light rail, and it also, as Paula mentioned, includes an allocated portion of the Columbia River Bridge. No, other than adjustments through the development of the project.
It's always been consistent. We haven't added anything to it?
Not to my knowledge. I don't know if you know.
Okay. Senator Rivers.
I have two questions, and they're somewhat disparate. The first is, in the FEIS, it lists retrofitting the steel bridge and also a maintenance facility at Gresham. So is that included in this $850 million?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So I just want to make point out a few things. One, these video clips we're rolling in, they're all from the same meeting.
That's correct.
And this is basically the continuing progression, and we would be happy to show the whole meeting, but we would lose people because there's just, we're zooming in on the highlights. But what we ought to do also is be able to ensure that we can point people to the entire clip so they can see in context, uncut, unfiltered, what's the whole meeting say?
I think that's really important. So, number one, my report actually gives the link to the website where the entire meeting is. And we have to understand, our viewers need to understand, this was a 4.5-hour meeting. So to include the whole, the entirety of the meeting, you know,
they'd be bored to death.
They would be. It was tough enough to sit there live. Mm-hmm.
So there is they can actually watch the whole video clip or zoom into the area where they want.
They can.
And online.
Right.
They don't have to order a video.
That's right. It's free online. And I think it's important. Yes, we're giving clips, but we've not cut out any of the discussion about the light rail at all.
Right.
And anything that would be important to the discussion we're having today. And I would encourage everybody to satisfy themselves and go look at that piece. It's about 30 minutes in. It's about an 8 to 10 minute segment of time. And I would encourage them, but I think they'll see that what we're pointing out here is...
You're going to have a written story that goes with this interview. And in that written story, it would be very useful. I don't know if you already have listed the timestamps. Okay. Where each one of these conversations take place so that people can zoom to that and they can look a little bit before, a little bit after,
sure,
to make sure that there's nothing that's relevant that we're leaving out.
That's right.
In this.
So I'd like to go back to what Representative Armstrong was honing in on. And he says, and I quote, "What's being funded by this money being the $850 million, has that at all been a moving target? Have we added to or taken away from the list of funding options that this $850 million is going to?"
So he's being very specific. He's continuing to drill down and give them an opportunity to be forthright and say, now that you mention it, let me fill you in a little where some of this money is going to. Maybe I've kind of overlooked.
And that's the
but
question.
So far, that's not happening.
That's not happening. And Nancy, Ms. Boyd says, the $850 million has always been intended to cover the cost of building light rail. Paula Hammond says, I don't think it's changed that much. Mm-hmm. Ms. Boyd says, other than for adjustments of the development of, and she trails off there. So Representative Armstrong says, and I quote, "It's always been consistent. We haven't added anything to it." Nancy Boyd says, "No, not to my knowledge." Now remember, let me go back here. 2009, we're going to have a Ruby Junction upgrade, and that's all. In 2010, we add the steel bridge.
Okay, so the question is...
So it did change. According to the documents I have, the project did change between 2009 and 2010, and there are components of this project that were added.
Okay, so the testimony being given by the CRC officials are not lining up anywhere close to what these documents reveal.
And that's what I'm pointing out.
Okay.
So as I'm sitting there...
And these documents were generated by the CRC officials.
They're not only generated by the CRC officials, they're on the Federal Transit Administration's website. They're on an FTA, a federal government website.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
And so what's important is not until Senator Ann Rivers, asks a very specific question about the Steel Bridge and Ruby Junction, is a very short answer that yes, those pieces of the project are going to be paid for.
That's surprising. It reminds me of the movie iRobot, where you have to ask specifically the right question, or the answer is, I'm sorry, I can't respond to that. I can't reveal to you. I can't. You have to ask more specifically than that.
So Senator King, who is from Yakima, does go on to ask more specific questions, and I think it's the last clip we have.
Okay, so we can play this last clip.
Senator King.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So let me go back to this maintenance facility at Gresham. Is that on this map?
No, it's not shown on the map, but it is included in the light rail costs.
And how much are we including for that?
Near as I can recall, I don't have the number in front of me, but I can get that back to you.
The number I've heard is $50
million. $50
million? 50, 50.
I don't know that that's in the same ballpark as what I've heard, but we'll get back to you with that number.
I would appreciate that.
Okay. So this conversation, progressively we've become very specific. And now the oversight panel has revealed that not only do they know about this, but they have numbers about this.
And the CRC officials did not have those numbers in
right.
front of them. And it's concerning to me that number one, $50 million is not a small component of this project. Yes, we're talking about a $3.5 billion project, but $50 million for a facility outside of the bridge area in Gresham for TriMet being Portland's.
That's 450% higher than a comparable upgrade. There's a lot of questions here. So
the question
can you
is
point
why
out
she
here,
didn't know.
Because the significance of what is going on here, I like for us not to miss it.
Okay, so the significance is Senator King, who, as you recall, in the first or the second clip, specifically asks if there are any other projects that were helping Oregon with other projects outside of this area.
Gave plenty of opportunity to be
very,
forthright.
Very
just the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth.
And she takes them back to the map with the green and explains that it's from the Expo Center into Portland, into Vancouver. She says that twice. So now he's asking her, is this on the map? Basically saying, I already asked you, and you've already told me all of the things on the map are the $850 million. He's asking her, is this on the map? And she's saying, no, it's not on the map. But it's included in the costs. So this has been a progression of A, having a projects that are outside of this 5-mile area.
Mm-hmm.
B, having public records requests that were ignored and then not fully responsive. C, showing that the costs that the CRC project is paying for Ruby Junction, is exponentially higher than the cost of two recent projects. And then on top of that, having testimony from the officials of the CRC office to the legislators that is not it's not forthcoming at the outset.
Mm-hmm.
And so that whole picture just brings a lot of questions into my mind. And again, my thinking is we need somebody to look into this. Why are these projects components not really advertised, so to speak, right? Why are we not giving a forensic accountant or anybody the real costs of the project? Why are we not being forthcoming with the legislators, with the information?
And the officials that are speaking are the director of the CRC.
That's right.
Nancy Boyd. And the director, statewide director.
Secretary.
Secretary of the Department of Transportation, Washington Department of Transportation, Paula Hammond.
That's correct.
I would think that the biggest project in our history here of Southwest Washington, that they would be knowledgeable in these areas. And the reason that we're asking these questions is because transparent government, accountability, this is a major impact in our area. The $153 million that's already been spent, is under these the leadership of these individuals.
That's correct.
Of these officials. And the ask is, can we have billions, with a B, billions dollars, dollars more to continue this?
Mm-hmm. And that's the question all along. Is if we can't be accountable to the $153 million and we can't do things on time or on budget, then what's going to happen when we start really getting into a construction zone across a river and we're dealing with billions of dollars? What happens with those cost overruns?
With those same officials in charge.
That's correct.
Okay. Where do we go with this, Tiffany?
Well, I think this is the third example of a reason why an agency of appropriate jurisdiction needs to look into this further. It's just one more example of why there needs to be somebody accountable in terms of understanding what's really going on there to make sure that, well, this is all okay. It really is okay. There's a reason why our project is 450% more than the Milwaukee upgrade. There just needs to be more answers. And doing this in a function of a public records request to somebody like me who's an outsider, it just gets difficult.
Sure.
And I think it's really important that we have an elected official or a group of elected officials who say, let's call a timeout, let's investigate this, and let's satisfy ourselves that everything's okay before we move forward with the bigger dollar project.
So here we are, private citizens, asking these questions, and you've spent a year and a half searching this out. This is the third report. You've got one more report yet to release one more aspect of this. And with this, you've been very methodical in this, very specific, providing the documentation. And you have provided this to the local Vancouver City Council.
I have.
The county commissioners.
I have.
Both governors.
You know, I don't think it's gone to the actual governor offices. No.
Okay. Well, I would think that that would be a good thing to follow through on. The oversight panel.
Yes.
Okay. And those individuals, have you heard any response that says, you know, we should investigate this?
The CTRAN board. I don't want to name names, but there have been a couple of legislators who have called me and thanked me and said that, you know, with the turmoil of an election coming up, they don't want to do anything right away, but there certainly is some momentum to maybe look into having this investigated. And so there are public officials who realize that something needs to happen, but they realize that with a change in a governor, potential change in a president, all of these things can impact this project. And so I think they're just going to wait and see about the results of the election before they move forward. And we'll see.
Yeah. I've asked Jim Mueller. I've asked Representative Jim Mueller. Mm-hmm. I've asked Vancouver City Councilman Jack Berkman. Mm-hmm. I've asked a number of other officials, are you concerned? Should we investigate this? And their expression was, no concern. It's water under the bridge. That's just how things work. Full speed ahead. And the full speed ahead is moving into dangerous territory. We do have, this is the car. This is the vehicle that they're trying to sell to Clark County. And the Proposition 1, CTRAN, is on our ballot right now to say whether or not we want to put gas in that car.
That's correct.
And whether or not we want to, it basically, they're saying, oh, that vote on Proposition 1, it's not about light rail, it's not about tolls, it's just about a tax. But it was Mike Ennis from, I think, the Washington
Policy Center
said that you can bet that if the citizens approve that, however slight the margin, that they're going to be shouting it from the rooftops, that the people of Clark County want light rail. It's a mandate to bring light rail into Clark County. And I think that makes sense. So where we go with this? Well, the question is, how should we vote on Proposition 1 to put gas in this car to empower these people with billions more that gives them the green light? I see that as the trigger.
Well, certainly everybody who has the ability to vote for either a public official or a tax like the CTRAN sales tax, they certainly need to do their research and decide, you know, what they support or what they don't support, mm-hmm. and then understand what those local officials support or don't support, or what that tax will do. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to understand those decisions before, or understand those things before they make those decisions. And then, you know, we'll talk next week about the tolls and the impact, the billions of dollars of impact to our local economy with this project. Mm-hmm. And so I do look forward to, you know, wrapping everything up with that, and then giving people and our legislators a call to action to really look into this.
Yes, and I need to point out that there are actually three Proposition 1s on Clark County ballots.
That's true.
There's Proposition 1 that has to do with parks and basically raising the general revenue for the city of Vancouver. There's Proposition 1 for, I think it's Yakult Operation and Maintenance.
That's right.
And there's Proposition 1 for light rail
for
C-Tran. And this regards that particular one. I would think that, just to avoid confusion, that never should have happened. They should serialize those.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have two Proposition or three Proposition 1s on the same ballot. Just one last thing.
Sure.
The best thing that the officials can do, I believe, when it comes to getting people to buy in on any project, is to present the truth, be transparent, be open, let the data speak for itself, just simply ask questions. But I can tell you that my own experience, I have asked Nancy Boyd, I've asked the CRC officials, if I don't have access to this, public officials that are charged to be really the watchers over the public treasury and the managers over this project, over this public agency that works for that's really defined and governed by the elected officials, they should be. If they don't have access, who does? And I ask, can the county commissioners look at the documents? Can they come in and sit down in front of your computers, and can we bring in a forensic accountant, and we can go into your offices and we can look at this stuff? Can a state legislator come in and look at this and actually have access to the unfiltered information in your database? And the answer is no. Public officials, elected representatives, regardless of their rank or their office, they are saying no, you cannot look at these records as a public agency. No, you have to sit down and you have to tell me what you want, make a public information request, and we'll give you what...
That's true.
That's
the way that it works.
An investigation will open that door, right?
That's right. And that's what that's why when I write these reports, you know, there are hundreds of pages in length sometimes, because when I add all of these exhibits to support my conclusions, you know, I want to make sure I'm presenting a legislator or a decision maker with the information as to why I came up with those conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, there might be other documents and other information inside that CRC office that will refute what I'm saying. Okay, that's all right, but let's get it out on the table.
Sure.
Let's have it all the way open. And if Tiffany Couch is wrong, then Tiffany Couch is wrong, but at least it's out on the table and we know why she's wrong, because we have all of the entire big picture.
And government gets better, projects get better when you welcome scrutiny, when you welcome people asking questions that maybe point out some holes or nail some things down that weren't nailed down, revealed some things that, oh yeah, sorry about that, we had a hole there, we'll fix that. Things get better when you do welcome scrutiny, but it appears that scrutiny isn't so welcomed in this case.
And I think what's important, and I'll say this in conclusion, is that government can't, I've seen government run efficiently, I've seen government run lean in terms of really living within their means and in terms of being forthright with their citizens, whether it be a city council or a county or a project like this. I've seen that, and it can work that way, and it would be nice to see it in this case.
So it doesn't have to be this way?
It does not. It does not have to be this way at all.
That's where leadership that holds the public officials, the agencies, the bureaucracies accountable makes all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any last words?
That was it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiffany.
You're
good
welcome.
Work.
All right.